circuses on the air.
The president does it.
Sometimes you feel like
that
a...
means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you
tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. The Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And, of course, Schwann's sleeping in this morning.
Well, of course he is. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. Yes, I would. Not even a question. Yeah. Believe me, not even a question. Let's see. What do we got? We got a lot of history stuff today. The year 1800, Congress held its first session in Washington, D.C. in the incompleted Capitol building. So the Capitol was not quite built yet. And now they just walk away with from the completed Capitol building with incomplete business being taken care of.
Well,
yes, yes. And, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get into politics here. But do you think the recent election on Tuesday and the changes, obviously the state went pretty blue here with Pritzker and so forth. But in Washington, I don't think that blue wave blew across the country as much as they thought it was going to.
Well, it at first, after Tuesday, like Wednesday morning, many people thought that it hadn't gone as far, but then there were some other closer elections, so that by Thursday and Friday, there was more.
Yeah.
And so it may not have been a blue wave that would have, like, knocked you over, but it was still a blue wave.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Florida's a mess.
We may not know till Thursday. I just read the latest story. We may not know till Thursday after the recount. And we still have, in Georgia, we still have issues also
but
there.
But there's always been issues in Florida. I mean,
always.
We're dating back to you know, the Gore days.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's what was one of the jokes. I don't know if it was the Onion or what it was. Did you see that?
Yes.
It was,
the results are in Al Gore one.
Which was awesome. Hysterical. 1863, Lincoln delivered his address in Gettysburg. Do we have a clip of that?
I reported on
There's
that.
No clip of Abraham
I filed
Lincoln.
A report.
let me check the archives.
Check the archives. Yeah. I think I filed it for ABC, Abe Lincoln Broadcasting Corporation, something like that.
I mean,
did you really?
Yeah.
If they have the World War One clip, they have to have.
No, they don't. 47 years, of course, is the way that speech started. He carefully crafted this address, secondary to other presentations that day, and came to be regarded.
Wow. And that was the theme
fault.
Music that called him up to the stage.
Came to be. I don't think so. I'm not sure that happened. This is very serious. People expect real results out of this history thing. that's funny. Yeah, that's what he wanted. That'd be awesome.
His walk-on music.
He walked on the stage like that. Really known to be the greatest speech, one of the greatest speeches in American history. In just over 2 minutes, Lincoln reiterated the principles of human equality espoused by the Declaration of Independence and proclaimed the Civil War as a struggle for the preservation of the Union by the secession crisis with a new birth of freedom that would bring true equality to all citizens. He also redefined the Civil War as a struggle not just for the Union, but for human equality in general.
Yeah, right. In fact, something that I can't remember where I heard this or saw it, but there are about 5 copies of that speech. Not a single one of them are identical.
Oh, really?
Because there was one
drafts.
That he wrote.
Yeah.
Then there was the one he delivered. He copied from that original, and then he made copies of that one for other people.
But wrote.
Right.
I mean,
he hand wrote that.
Yeah.
Right. He wrote the copies, but they're not identical.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You'll remember this. 1894. First newspaper Sunday Color comic section was published. It was featured. It was called the Yellow Kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
The very yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love newspaper comics. I studied them long, long time ago. The Yellow Kid is the very first comic that came out, and it was not non-political. It was most comics
which
in the early days were very political.
They weren't for kids.
Yeah, no, no.
But then there were the Cats and Jammer Kids and the Happy Hooligan, which was your nickname in grammar school, of course.
Yeah. Well, but as I got older, I was the grumpy
hooligan. Isn't it still?
It is. Yeah. Of course he's the Happy Hooligan. Of course he is. You know what's funny is I think it was about a year ago that I canceled the newspaper subscription.
Oh, really?
And I get it on my phone, and I get it on my tablet.
You got
and
the
I get
digital
it on my
subscription.
I got the digital subscription. But still to this day, till a year ago, my kids would see the newspaper on the counter, and they would grab the comics. And I always thought, how cool was that? Because it was classic Peanuts that was in there. And when it stopped coming, the kids, you know, when I would wake up, they'd be like, well, where's the newspaper? Now, that's very odd. I mean, for any kids their generation to even know what a newspaper is.
Sure.
I mean, they're getting their news.
Not for us.
My son gets his news on Snapchat. You know, and I'm surprised. Like, when he and I go out to dinner, we start talking. I said, you know, there was this. And I expect him not to know because he's a 17-year-old kid. He's got other stuff in his bag. He goes, no, I saw it on Snapchat.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of social medias are getting involved with that now, especially, like, Instagram. They've added their own sort of thing, Instagram TV.
Yeah.
So ABC News, I know, is very adequate with putting stuff on there. So I think it's a kind of a good thing because they're reaching out to millennials because that's where millennials are always are on. They're on
but nobody's
media.
Probably going to their phone or their tablet to look at the comics.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like
there
that's
is
a dying
one
art,
site.
Which is really unfortunate.
There is one site that compiles all the comics.
Seriously.
It's called Go Comics. Anyone can go to it. I've been doing it for a long time. If you see my Facebook post, and in the past I've posted comics.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the site I go to. Go Comics, one word, and you can see all the comics, and they include the political comics, and you can even see the ones that are new for that day.
The Sun-Times just killed a bunch of comics.
Yes, and they caught
about
a lot of backlash
Ziggy
from it.
Ziggy is gone.
Yes.
And I know they brought back a lot of stuff in the TV listings. Like, what, you know, honestly, sometimes it's so thin as it is with barely anything in it.
I'll
and
tell
I
you
thought,
this.
Yeah.
So Bridget decided she wanted to subscribe to the newspapers. We now have Marmaduke cartoons magnetized to the refrigerator.
That's hysterical.
She loves Marmaduke.
Peanuts and Charlie Brown was my favorite growing up, for sure. 1916, Samuel Goldwyn and Edgar Selwyn established Goldwyn Pictures. The company later became one of the most successful independent filmmakers in history, a little over 100 years ago. 1921, President Harding signed the Willis-Campbell Act, anti-beer bill, forbidding doctors prescribing beer or liquor for medicinal purposes. So this is...
A lot of those products back in the day had alcohol in them.
Oh, I remember.
And there wasn't much else.
I remember my grandmother, you know, I had a cough, I was hoarse, and she put like a little whiskey in the milk or a little bourbon in there, whatever.
Do you know NyQuil, right? When it first came out, I was still at home. I think I was in high school.
It's alcohol content,
and
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I took a swig of it, and I'm like bouncing off the walls.
Blackhawks, 1926. Today, or this week, the Chicago Blackhawks played their first game. Who'd they play?
What are the original six? I would say, if it's not the Rangers, it was probably one of the Canadian teams.
Yep, it was Toronto.
Yeah.
And they beat Toronto 4-1. Yeah, so since they just lost
4-0.
I know. So that was the second game of the new coach, right?
Yes, second game. Yeah. They lost the first. They were down 4-0 on the first game with the new coach the other day, but they came back 4-3. If they had just a couple more minutes,
I get a little concerned that he said, "I'm not really going to change the formula here." Well, that's the purpose of you being a junior.
I think, but I kind of agree with it because the change was just so sudden, right in the middle of a season. I mean, I don't think you can, even though they're professional hockey players, if he just brought in a new system, I don't think you can expect even Patrick Kane to just change the way that he plays.
So he needs a little breathing room
to
figure this out, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Change quickly just means change for change. You got to figure it out. Yeah.
Apparently, I think there was more going on with the team than just the system.
Yeah. not trying to plug anything else, but Mark Lazarus, beat writer for the Blackhawks. I don't know if any of you are subscribed to The Athletic, online sports subscription.
I saw you post some stuff.
He wrote a fantastic article. It's a paid subscription, so you have to pay for it. But I'll tell you what, they have great Blackhawks coverage in there. So if you're a big Blackhawks fan, and not even just Blackhawks, Cubs, White Sox,
Athletic.
Bulls. Yeah, The Athletic. Cool. Check it out. Great article.
Good to know. 1928, the first issue of Time magazine. Who was on the cover?
What year again?
28. That's going to be a tough one.
Japanese
Emperor Hirohito.
Hirohito.
Yeah.
Really?
On the cover. First one on the cover.
See, I was thinking it would be like a U.S. president.
Mm-hmm. And the first edition of Life was 8 years later, 1936. Cover was the Fort Peck Dam over the Missouri River in Montana. So it wasn't a person.
It was probably like one of these marvels of engineering,
mm-hmm.
which is what they did. That's amongst the many things they did, because it was a photo magazine.
Yeah, it was. That's exactly what it was.
Not really
Life and Pictures.
You didn't read the articles.
No,
on
you
that
didn't.
One. Yeah.
You didn't. 1947, Meet the Press made its network TV debut on NBC. So that's a god.
Mm-hmm. One of the longest running programs on TV.
It's amazing. We have at the Broadcast Museum the Tim Russert Meet the Press set.
Yeah.
Because that was redesigned after he passed away. But yeah, one of the longest running. I thought it was also simulcast on radio at the time. I think it actually is on.
I don't know if it's simulcast, but you a lot of stations will run the show later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. 1951, and this is kind of interesting. Wait a minute. We have something from Meet the Press from 1956. It's one of the most earliest clips that is out there. It's Eleanor Roosevelt, why she had no respect for Richard Nixon. Take a listen. It's pretty cool.
Will you tell us how you feel about Mr. Nixon running as he is for vice president?
Yes, I know how I feel personally. But I know that what I feel personally is probably a feeling that might not be shared by other people. I'm told that Mr. Nixon is a very fine young man by many Republican people whom I know, particularly young people, and that he is matured and grown in many ways. I happen to remember very clearly his campaign for the senatorship. I had no respect for the way in which he accused Helen Hagen Douglas of being a communist, because he knew that was how he would be elected. And I have no respect for the kind of character that takes advantage and does something they know is not true.
Wow. Wow. Think about that.
The senatorship.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty powerful.
Yeah, extremely.
Years after FDR passed away.
Yeah.
Here's something really interesting, a little Rifleman story for you. 1951, former Cubs first baseman and future TV star of the Rifleman, Chuck Connors, is the first player to oppose the major league draft. He was a Chicago Cub.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah, by the
way, it wasn't much of a career.
It wasn't
around long.
But his show on MeTV, the Rifleman
the
on
Rifleman,
MeTV,
yeah.
is one of their highest rated.
Really?
In every day. Every
He's
day.
A handsome-looking guy.
Okay. All right. 1963, a Bell telephone introduced the push-button telephone. We still have a rotary phone in the basement. I actually bought it and had AT&T connect it. They had to, like, do all kinds of stuff to make it work.
Special wiring.
Yep. But the kids are fascinated by it. I'm like, Emma, call Grandma. And she, on this phone, how long is that going to take?
Yeah.
I can just tell Siri to call Grandma.
Right.
And it's like,
there's a viral video that maybe a couple of months ago, a couple of millennials come across a dial phone and have no clue what it is.
I bet.
And they had no way to do it. I didn't watch the whole thing, so I don't know if there's someone standing there instructing them or trying to tell them what to do. But the first part is they're looking at it and they pick it up and they go, what? Yeah.
Really?
Just totally. Not even a clue.
Interesting.
Yeah.
1963, which is, 55 years ago? JFK was assassinated.
November.
Am I a little early?
You're early. November 22nd.
I have a clip, though, of course, Walter Cronkite talking about this. Let's just take a listen.
Yeah.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. 2 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
And he takes off his glasses.
Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital.
You hear him
in,
choking up?
Dallas, yeah. But we do not know.
We'll talk a little bit about this more next week. But yeah. What we always talk about, Shawnee and I always talk about, is that, like, I was born in 67. So okay. That is just part of the history books for me.
Right.
And you remember me in school.
I was in school, Oakton School, in the library. Our class was in the library when there was an announcement over the intercom that President Kennedy had been shot. And we're all just sitting around. The librarian was ashen white. We were sitting around going, what the heck happened?
Oh, yeah.
And we went home. And I lived two blocks from the school. And I had not spent as much time in front of the television as I did during those days, from the assassination to watching. I was actually watching TV when Ruby came in and shot Oswald.
Yeah.
Because it was a live TV feed.
But what I was going to say is, like, for people
you have
my
no
age,
clue.
No, and it was 9/11 that was probably the most impactful for me.
Right.
And I'm not even sure for you, too.
I was in first grade. I was 7 years old.
And you remember
at the time.
That?
Yeah.
9/11?
Well, yeah, because you know what? My dad was flying from D.C. to Atlanta, and he took American, and we still take American. And my mom was a nervous wreck because we didn't know what his flight number was. But we knew that he was on American Airlines, and hearing that two of the planes were American Airlines definitely shook up at least our family. And then when my dad finally landed in Atlanta, he called my mom, and my mom said, you got to come home, like, now. Like, there's no doubt about it. You need to come home. And he's like, no, I have, like, this. She's like, trust me, your meetings and stuff are going to get canceled. Like, you need to come home. And so he drove. I think it was like 15 hours from Atlanta straight through to Chicago. And he told me if he had to relive that day, he would have asked people, is anybody going to Chicago? Because he had to rent a car. So he could have fit four other people in the car and would have driven people back up here if he had to redo that again.
But yeah, each generation has their own.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like my grandparents would have said, it wasn't Kennedy so much that it was World War II in general.
And
you
know? I'll be honest with you, that event, Kennedy's assassination and the television coverage, nonstop coverage.
Got you into journalism.
Yep. Made me want to be in news.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. 1968, the first interracial TV kiss. It was Star Trek, Kirk and Uhura. Was that. 1968, also the Beatles released Beatles White Album, their only double album.
Which is being reissued.
Yes, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
being remastered
cool.
And reissued.
I love that. Love hearing that.
Yeah.
1998, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, the Lewinsky scandal. The United States House of Representatives Judiciary Committee began impeachment hearings against U.S. President Bill Clinton. That was a real mess.
It was.
All over his
from
pants.
Start to finish.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did not have.
Oh, let's listen to that.
Sexual.
Because I just want to hear
it
again.
But I want to say one thing.
Because he was pissed.
I want you to listen to me.
You
I'm
listen.
Say this again.
You listen to me.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie. Not a single time. Never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Indeed, I did have a relationship with Miss Lewinsky that was not appropriate.
Wow.
In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part.
He's so much nicer this time.
For which I am solely and completely responsible.
Oh, yes, you are.
Sounds kind of remorseful.
Not only remorseful, but when we talk, what I cannot hear, and I have a real problem with this, hearing Mrs. Clinton talking about the Me Too movement when her husband was such a piece of crap. It was a White House intern. She was of age, and I know she said something on CBS News recently that, well, she was legal. She was of age to make that decision on her own. She said that recently, and I thought, still, this is a woman who is thinking about a career and thinking about a career in Washington and somewhat vulnerable being around the president, and that's acceptable? How do you connect that? How do you say that? Oh, please, man.
I'm not going to make any excuses for anyone.
Yeah.
But I will make reference to this. When you get around famous people, people who are in the spotlight, you change. Your approach to them, your demeanor around them changes. And people get affected in different ways. Some people are immune to it. But for the most part, like, if you were the president of the United States right now, which you would be perfect as.
Oh yeah.
I'd be sitting here going,
I understand.
Seriously,
that. I understand that.
It's the position, it's the prestige, it's the limelight, and you look up to those people.
Yeah. But the left will say, you know, President Trump, which is unacceptable, saying the things he did about, you know, grab them by the and all that other stuff.
Right.
It's unacceptable, but they act like that's never happened before. What about and then we're putting the Clintons up on this pedestal, and they were the worst about this whole thing and how they just try to bury it and everything. Ah, I can't take it.
Take a breath.
Take a breath.
And take a break.